Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
How did this come about? Was it your idea? Was it Oliver Stone's idea? Was it Putin's idea? How did this thing happen over such a long period of time?
It was we have done with Oliver a series of very interesting interviews before. We went to the Middle East and we tried to interview Arafat. We were with Netanyahu. Then we went to meet Fidel Castro. And then we went to meet Hugo Chavez and a few leaders in Latin America. In the beginning, you know, of the period of Latin America, I wouldn't say populism, but where there was a kind of a leftist revolution at that time. And then we were doing Snowden, and Oliver was going to Russia to meet with Edward Snowden. And then I say, why don't we do this? You know, and that's how it came across.
Yeah, well, I'm sure why don't I interview Putin, too? It would seem
because you don't ask.
Really, you think that's an interesting point. Were you surprised when they said, okay, we'll give you the kind of access you all had?
No, I wasn't surprised because due to my history, I find out that in life you need to ask. Sometimes you get, sometimes you don't. But if you don't ask, you don't get.
So was Oliver...
We ask and we got, you know, sometimes, for example, like I'm giving you an example, like, you know, we didn't, in a past documentary, we didn't get to see Arafat because he didn't want to. Yeah. But in this one, you know, he was challenged by the idea, Mr. Putin, and, you know, we got to get the interview and things were growing and growing and growing.
Did you know it was going to take such a long period of time? Was that the plan, to speak to him for several months?
Yes, the plan was to spread it out because it was such a topic. And Oliver's curiosity is very avid. And we had to spread out according to our time, you know, because we were in the middle of the release and the editing of the Snowden film. And then after the Snowden, you know, the events with Russia started to heat it up. And then we had to go back again to ask him some questions which were relevant to the U.S. election.
Yeah. How fortuitous for you. So what was the time frame? When was the first interview? When was the last interview?
From July 2015 till February 2016.
So just after the... to February of 2016.
No, I'm sorry, 17. Yes. I apologize.
Yeah, yeah. So just after the election then. And
yes.
That's fascinating because did you get a sense, did Oliver get a sense that the Russians meddled in the election and that Putin had his hand on that?
Listen, Oliver asked, especially in Chapter 4, which you're going to see, I think that is tomorrow, you will get a whole section about that. So I wouldn't like the listener to really get into, you know, I wouldn't like to advance situations, but the film is very honest. You know, we let the guy, I mean, not the guy, the president speak by himself. Mm-hmm. Oliver push and push and push. And push again because he knew that this question will come and he knew that people would like him to ask kind of a harsh or frontal question. So he did. Personally, I think that it's a very big and complex subject. In three areas, you need to see facts, like in medicine, in law, and, you know, and in different, you know, and in forensics, you need to see the facts. I don't think that we still have the facts now to judge if they mental, if they hack the elections. And I think that we may have the facts later, but I think that there is a lot of speculation at this moment, as there was a speculation in the Iraqi war about the chemical weapons. You remember that when
weapons of mass destruction, sure, and they,
exactly.
And we never found them. And so you think that it's possible that the notion, the evidence for a Russian hack in this election will be the same as the weapons of mass destruction, the chemical weapons that we all were sure were in Iraq, and yet we never found, right?
I think that there is a big possibility. I think that we need to wait in this kind of subjects, which are so bold, especially, don't forget that there was an election lost that people didn't believe in the U.S. that they will lose an election, especially to Donald Trump. You know, like, nobody could believe from his own peers that they lost. Like, you know, I'm not a political expert, but, you know, he beat a very tough opponent, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, the favorite of the party, Jeb Bush. And then, you know, he won to Hillary Clinton. So I think that my inclination is that in my country they say it's, you know, when the fox cannot grasp the grapes, it says that the grapes are green. So we need to blame someone, you know, for you know, maybe for Mr. Trump's victory. I mean, like, the public needs to blame someone. So it may be that, you know, I don't know, you know, we need to still know the facts, you know, that all this Russia hysteria is due to the fact that it's a diverse of attention.
Yeah.
Or it may be that, you know, that there was a serious diversion, but from someone that is maybe Russian, but not presidential, you understand, or not the head of the state directly.
Well, I'll tell you what you already know, and that is that absent that evidence, Americans have in fact made up their mind. Our intelligence communities have told us that the Russians hacked the election and that it is almost certain that it came from the top. And so when people watch the movie, I think they want Oliver Stone to be a little more critical, a little more judgmental, a little more harsh, to use your words. They want him to go after Putin more.
Well, I think that, like Oliver said the other day in an interview, you catch more bees with honey than with vinegar.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so,
right, because, my understanding is, and you just described it, if the interviews took place over several months, the way you get Vladimir Putin to continue to be interviewed is to be a little deferential. And
I wouldn't say deferential. I think that Oliver, in this particular case, first, let's put things in perspective. There is journalism, there is film directors, and there is heads, sovereign heads of the state, which, you know, like, some went to university or prepared themselves to be a head of the state. Some didn't, you know, and they won or, you know, through different situations. So we need to have the respect for a head of the state and put ourselves in our place as filmmakers. We were not journalists. Oliver Stone did probably 10 magnificent films that made the history of, you know, of film, American film history, like JFK. I'm not going to tell you JFK or, like, you know, Platoon or even The Doors. So he has a very specific point of view. He's not a rabid journalist. He's not someone that will attack the people in a way that just to please the crowd. He's going to make the portrait that he wants at his age, asking the questions which will be harsh in his style, and satisfies his own curiosity.
And what is that portrait? What is the portrait of Vladimir Putin that Oliver Stone gives us? Tell me about Putin as a result.
First, we can listen to Putin to his own words, which is fantastic because everybody assumes that he thinks this way, that he is that way, and we get fourth-generation rumors. Here is, boom, here you have him, direct to you. Number one, and that's probably the biggest achievement of the film. Second, there is some historical, we went through the history of Russia and the history of him and his actions and his reactions explained by him, which they make a certain sense. And some people want to listen to them and some people don't want to listen to them. But at least we have his point of view. Like Oliver says, if we think that Russia is the enemy, let's know the enemy. And again, I would like to clarify that we did this because of peace, because we want situations and people to calm down, to get along. And Oliver, that has been in wars and that has lived through the Cold War, know the consequences of hysteria. So he did before something called the Untold History, which I produce as well, which pretty much it is another contribution, the Untold History of the United States, which is also try to explain what really happened, factual. And going back to your question, I think that the portrait of Vladimir Putin shows a very hardworking head of the state, which really cares about his country and that knows his country not like a politician, as if he was a CEO, that he has worked. Let's compare, like, if the country will be a factory, that he has worked from the mailroom to the top position. He knows everything.
Mm-hmm. Do we also get the sense that this is a tyrant? This is somebody who jails his critics? This is somebody who rules with an iron fist?
Not really. And those are, again, you know, like assumptions based not merely on fact. That we have a media perception of him, which are a lot of assumptions. And we went one by one by him. Sometimes we believe him, sometimes we may not believe him, but it's very worth it to see it. Yeah. You know, it's very important for democracy to have the other point of view.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, especially at this point in time. That's quite a challenge for us, and maybe we've lost our sense of that. We are extraordinarily critical. You saw the Stephen Colbert interview with Oliver Stone, right?
Listen, let's put it this way. This is a guy which is a comedian who, you understand, who is talking like that with no facts about a head of the state. I don't go to Second City in Chicago, which I love, a city that I love, and, you know, I try to be uber critical without facts about comedy techniques. So we need to go back to our place as filmmakers, you know, or journalists, or fact checkers, as we had many in our team. Oliver as a film director, you know, and we need to respect a point of view that we may like or we may not like of a head of the state.
Yeah.
But let's not talk about things that we don't know.
Well, the Colbert interview, Colbert's more than a comedian. I don't mean to spend a lot of time on this. It's not that important to me, but the audience was reacting. Colbert was feeding off the audience, and the audience, you could tell, wasn't buying what Oliver Stone was selling, where Stone was, they believed, being a little too deferential, even in the interview. They hadn't seen the movie Interview, but the fact that he was so considerate to the Putin story, to the Putin history, the audience was groaning and then laughing. They weren't buying it.
What do they know? What is the intellectual level of these people? What is the level of information? You know, Like, you understand, what is the level of education of these people? They're there to laugh.
One last
They're
question.
They are to take things seriously.
If so I may.
This is a serious, I apologize. This is a very serious interview that we did. A piece of that it should be seen before you meet the head of the state. Yeah. You know, this is a portrait. It's not just to make fun of it in a night TV show. You know, that's an easy shot. You understand? That's too easy.
Well, maybe Oliver Stone shouldn't have gone on with Colbert. I would have predicted that it would have gone that way. I mean, he is.
Yeah, but listen, we're not afraid of anything. We didn't commit a crime. You know, we just interview a very controversial, at this moment, head of the state.
Yeah.
And we presented his point of view. If people find that is funny, because it's not Oliver Stone saying Putin is like this or Putin is like that. It's Putin answering questions of Oliver Stone.
Yeah, I get it. You're presenting the picture, and yet we're critical of the messenger.
Imagine if you finish this interview with me, and people criticize you because you didn't ask me who was my mother or who was my father or like anything. It's like,
right?
It's crazy. You ask me the questions that you want.
Sure.
It's your point of view.
Last question.
So you can always ask me better questions or tough questions or whatever, but you ask me the question that you have in the interview.
What is your sense of Putin's view of Donald Trump? Does he respect him? Does he like him? Does Putin consider Donald Trump an ally or a foe?
I think that, again, I think that my personal point of view of this is that Putin, from what I learned, especially in chapter number 4, which I encourage you to see, he has asked 4 U.S. presidents, from Obama to Bush, to Clinton. So for him, you know, he needs to work with whoever he needs to work, woman, man, whoever, and he needs to make it work, the relationship, make it work. That's what he was, when Oliver was spoken to him, to try to be, to try to be reactive or to try to say an anti-American comment, President Putin was saying, our partner, our things, we need to work together. And between you and I, we have very serious task to do as to combat terrorism that, you know, we need to be together. So let's see, instead of in our difference, let's see in what are important matters that urge to our lives, to your life in Chicago, to my life in London, that we can work together. Everybody forgot the peace in the signs that they're selling T-shirts, but let's work a little bit towards peace, and that's our responsibility as documentarians, filmmakers, journalism, just instead of being unnerving and poking each other.
Yeah. Well, your movie came at the right place at the right time. I really appreciate what you've done, and I sure appreciate you giving us some of your time this afternoon, Fernando.
No, my pleasure. Like, you know, I'm very, 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 I love Chicago. You know, it's one of my favorite cities. And I really love your country. And I think that it's a moment that we need to take peace seriously. We need to, if we consider Putin our enemy, we need to try to make peace in a certain way, you understand? And we need to, instead of so much hate and antagonism between each other, we need to really, like John Lennon said, give peace a chance. And don't take things so lightly, you know?
Yeah. It continues tonight on Showtime, 4-part series.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for your time.